Some have the schus to learn the ksavim of the of Rav Kook, Zecher Tzadok Kosh Levracha, and we're in the middle of the sugya that was the Nishmas Chaim, really the Nishmas Chaim of Rav Kook, and what he gave his unbelievable koichus over to this inyan. And many years have passed. It's beginning to take hold more and more. But he was a person with a very, very great vision, and was zeicher to have a little time on Erev Shabbos to see a little bit of Ba'aruch HaNira Or, the Iris of Rav Kook. I hope that you have the pages from before the summer, because we're in the middle of that maimer, the middle, not really, we're on Eis Gimel, of that maimer that was not printed together with Iris HaTaira, but it really is a part of Iris HaTaira. It's not only a part of Iris HaTaira, but it's almost impossible to appreciate Iris HaTaira without it. And it's itself very, very big and very beautiful and involved. And we began before the summer. We're up to Eis Gimel. We started Eis Gimel. I don't know what the page is. 319. It came out, yeah. So by page that says 319 on the left side of the box, says 319. Eis Gimel. So maybe we'll just fast. We'll start Eis Gimel from the beginning. It's been a while, and we're up to really the. I made a simon here up to the bottom, the last sentence on the page. But let's begin again with Eis Gimel, to go back into the inyan. So quickly, because this is for those who have been learning with us together, we already spent some time on this. Haruyim liyos medrachim mechelik hamachshav shebetoyah b'chachmas elokim. Those who are ruyim, those who are capable of learning and to be mudrachim, and are capable not only of learning and understanding, but of living in that world of chelik hamachshava shebetayra, in the chelik hamachshava shebetayra, in the deeper domain of pnimius atayra and chachmas elokim, shibemes kelelas kol atayra v'kol chachma l'chol tzadar, which of course contains within it all chachma. Enim Rishayim, those who have the ability, those who have the koiches for this, Enim Rishayim, they are not permitted, Ve'enim Yecholim, Le'ishtamet Mekishroinim Zeh, and they cannot run away from this kishron, this koich, this ability that they have. And what Rav Kook focuses on in this maimer, or in this part of the maimer, is the meaning of that, of those words? They can't run away. They can't run away from this kishon. A person who was created with the ability to look at things in a deeper way cannot run away from that kishon. It's only a matter of how he uses it. He's stuck in that way of thinking, that way of looking at everything. Many mechayim l'shtamet v'kishroinim zeh l'hashkiyas atzmak b'dvar ma'isim. He can't run away, he's not allowed to, and he can't run away from that kishron, that ability that he has. L'hashkiyas atzmak, to invest themselves only in dvar ma'isim, in the practical side of Torah alone. Of course, everybody has to learn the practical side of Torah as well. But apgam hazeh shebenavsham yizgale v'yero k'may talmud chacham sheshonu pirish. Pshul kosh mikulam. Chazal tells us that the worst thing is when you have a talmud chacham who left the study of Torah, who ran away from Torah. So if Kook is telling us that on a certain level, a Jew who's sitting and learning all day, He's sitting and learning all day. He doesn't waste any time. But this person can also be, in a way, a Talmud Chacham that was Shono Parish, that learned and left Torah. He didn't leave Torah Chas V'Chalila. He's learning Torah all day. But he's learning only that aspect of Torah, which is the revealed part of Torah, the practical halacha, nigla, and so on, and he has removed himself from that deeper part of Torah, that Hashem created him with the koiches and the kishreinus to learn those things, and therefore, even though this person could be sitting and learning all day, in a certain way, he's a Talmud Chacham Shoshana Pirush. He's like a Talmud Chacham that has learned and left his learning. He's left his learning, of course, because telling us does not only mean to leave learning, God forbid, altogether. It means to neglect the level of learning that you were created to do. And if you neglect that, if you leave that, it's in a certain way, like a Talmud Chacham who has left Torah, which Chazal tells us is Kash Mekulam, is horrible. The horror of it, Rav Kook goes on to describe. That Tam Poshet. B'nei sheyesh lo kishron nisgav, v'sa'iris gadol l'dvar na'alan. This person was given by Hashem a certain kishron, a certain ability to understand things in a deeper way. And his'iris gadol for great matters. V'chol zman shu osik beitz achayim v'atayra, mechayi es nishmaso. So as long as he is connected to the Eitz HaChaim, to the Tree of Life, meaning to Pnimius HaTorah, and that Torah is Mechayis Nishmaso, gives life to his soul, because his soul comes from that. Yesh Le'Bemel Lohaitzis Kishroinai. He has the ability to use his Kishron for that. He has Kalim in which to pour the or that Hashem has created within him. The koyach is iris nafshay ledvarm toivim v'yikarim in mimela. The his iris hanefesh that he experiences through connecting to Pnimius HaTorah will lead him to dvarm toivim v'yikarim, to very great and precious things. Avo kishu parish min ha-Torah v'akoyach shenimtza b'metzias lo yishakeid. However, if he runs away from that part of Torah, or if there are others who pull him away from that part of Torah, and there are no shortage of very, very wonderful Jews with good intentions who are constantly doing that, and he pulls this person away from the Pnimius of Torah for which his soul was created to connect to, so then that koyach shenimtza b'metzias lo yishakeid, the need for depth, the need for excitement, lo yishakeid, doesn't go away, doesn't disappear. Al kein me efes his iris l'toiva, since he cannot use this l'toiva, because he decided that it's not good for him, or he doesn't, for whatever reason he's not going to, or others told him that no, you're not allowed to do this, you're not allowed to look at these things, and so on. So al kein me efes his iris l'toiva. So he has this nature of Pnimius, and if he's not going to use it, Latayva hu Pailara. Doesn't go away. It's just Pailara. Just it's going to be used for the things that are not good. The most destructive people who have ever lived were the people who are most mukhsharim for Pnimius. The most destructive Jews in the world were the biggest balikishim. The biggest balakishon, not just to get things done, but to understand things and to look into the pnimius of things, but for whatever reason, it didn't end up in pnimius HaTorah, so then it ends up in other things. Kfi midas roz, tchunas roz, shleyachsu l'olam b'libo shel adam. And all of the destructive midas, where there's no shortage of in the heart of a person. Kshaparish mar HaTorah, when a person goes away from the light of Torah. Again, he's learning Torah, this person. Not talking about someone that's not learning, but he's parish me'or ha'tayra. He has removed himself from the light of Tayra. Me'or ha'tayra. Ha'mishpat is ahela gamke b'tayra atzma. This mishpat, meaning this, what the Gemara says, that a Talmud Chacham Sheshanu Pirish, that a Talmud Chacham was learning Torah and left Torah, is the most difficult Jew. This is even in the world of Torah itself. The Fima Leisa, there are different milas of Torah, there are different levels of Torah. If a person leaves, if he abandons, if he ignores that level of Torah that he is mukshet to be on, and he throws himself completely into a lower madrega of Torah, so Rav Kook says it's a bechina of a Talmud Chacham Sheshanu Pirish. There's also, of course, great danger for a person who is mukshet to be in a lower level, and he inappropriately, at the wrong time, places himself in a higher level, which Rav Kook will talk about later on. Shemishu mukshar lehigoyin nizgav. A person who is mukshar, a person who is capable of higoyin nizgav, of great exalted thinking. Ulistaklus amuka gedoyla ruchava. And deep, deep way of looking at things and understanding things. He has to bring out in his life. He has to bring that out. He has to be able to experience that way of thinking, that way of looking at things in his life. And if that is shut, if it's locked, if it's forbidden to him, either because of his own choice not to learn these things, bein ayidei acherim, or because of others who told him that he's not allowed to learn those things, bein mitzat sibayis ma'isiyos chitzonis, it could be because of some silly reasons, whatever it might be, bein mitzat ez hachroz deis, because he's come to some conclusion about what's best for him, and so on. Rak b'chelek ha'ma'isi levad. And instead, he only is Isaac, he's only occupied with the practical side of Torah, with halacha and so on. V'yarchiv bai, and he, in that world that he has settled in and settled for, he's marchiv bai, he works hard, he expands in that world, v'yadaktek, and he's medaktek rak binyonim shel hagvul, hamukav hamaisi. And he's medaktik, since remember he has tremendous kishon, he's tremendous kaihas. So he's medaktik, he's working to be medaktik only in those inyonim that are inyonim within the border, hamukha famaisi, of practical reality, within the borders of practical reality. And in those borders he's medaktik in those within the borders of practical halacha and so on. So the Yishma bezes tzima'ina hapnimi, he won't satisfy his inner thirst. Yenisha umlal v'yavesh, who remain umlal v'yavesh, who remain rachmanis, v'yavesh, and dry, v'yavesh. V'nafsha lo yitetze min ha'karech al ha'poil, his soul will not be able to come out min ha'karech, from potential into reality. Lo yirak b'tzad ha'iyuni, not only as far as how much he understands. So you might say, oh, it's chaval. He could have understood. This person has the kaiches to understand so many things in Pnimius HaTorah, and there's so much that he could have understood, he could have learned, and so much information he could have gathered, and he's not going to have that. That's not all it's about. Of course, that's part of it, but that's not all. Kim chol dvar kishon. It's going to affect everything in his life. V'chol kedushu shleimus Pnimius. And any kedusha that he could have reached, and Shleimus Pnimius, that he might see on a simple Jew who does not have his kishronis and does not have his kaiches, but he is happy with who he is, and he loves the Torah that he's learning, and he loves his family, and he loves other Jews, and he's just a happy, wonderful Jew who's sitting in his Blad Gemara, and sitting in his halachas, and sitting in his Parshas HaShavu, and Shleimik Echad Targum, and he's happy, and he's God-fearing, and he's keeping halacha in the best possible way, and he's raising beautiful children. And this person of Pnimius is sitting on the side, and his life is a wreck. His life is a wreck. His wife and his children, b'chlal, his whole shleimus is off. And he doesn't understand. How come that person is so happy? And how that person is so much sliach in yeshiva? And not to be a balgaiva, he thinks, I'm 10 times smarter than that guy. I was 10 times better than him in learning. And he has such a shlemus in his life, and he has such a beautiful family, and he's so happy with his life, and I'm miserable, and I'm much, much better than him in learning. But he can't find, also, he can't find Kedusha. He's drawn towards all kinds of terrible things, Hashem Yirachem, disgusting things. Chol Kedusha Shleimus Pnimis, he can't find the Kedusha and Shleimus Pnimis. The reason is, the Nefesh Bilti Mushlamis, the unfinished, incomplete soul, Shachanosa Gedoyla, that was prepared and readied by Hashem and created by Hashem for very, very great and deep matters. The Koyach Kishreina Otzim, with tremendous koyches, Hanesgeris Bekol Koycha Betchum Shul Choshuch Lefi Erka, that is shut and locked in to a tchum, to an area, a tchum, a bordered, guarded area, which is dark according to that person's level. You see, the happy, simple Jew, and again, I say simple, it could be a Talmud Chacham, but the happy, learned Jew, that's his tchum. And he's living in his tchum. In other words, that's his home, and he's living in his home. So he's happy. His home that Hashem created for him, is the home of Nigla. That's his home, and he's happy living in that home. And he gets all of his chiyas and all of his simcha from what? From the Blat Gemara and from the Parshas HaShavua. He gets all of his simcha from that, and that's beautiful. And Hashem Yisbarach didn't give him the kishrin to go much further beyond that, even though it should be said that really be'emes and pnimius, every single Jew has to learn all parts of Torah. But there are different madregas of each person, how much they could learn in pnimius and so on. A person's not allowed to say, oh, like people say, that's not for me. Hanistaris l'Hashem alakein. Oh, no. So you maybe want to learn a little bit Kedushas Leg. Oh, no. It's not for me. I'm a meat and potatoes, you know, Gemara. That whole nusach is a nusach that's puzzle. The whole nusach is puzzle. They say, no, it's not for me. It's not that much different than a person who you go to and you say, you want a little chumash? And he says, no, chumash is not for me. It's not that different. Because there are four halakim of Torah. Pshat, Remez, Jewish inside. And each person has to come back and gilgulim until he learns all halakim of Torah. We were created to learn all of Torah, Kol HaTorah Kula. No one's potter from learning Zohar Kaddish. There's no such thing. There's no patur from Zohar Kaddish. It just means that in this present lifetime, you're not so mukhsha for that. That doesn't mean that you're not supposed to be Isaac at all in Pnimis HaTorah, Chas V'Chalim. That has nothing to do with Chassidus Nebal Shem Tov. The Gros says that over and over and over. Nevertheless, there are certain neshamas that are neshamas of Said. And those neshamas of Said are moksha from the time that they were created to go deeply, deeply into matters of pnimius. The other person, his neshama does not come from that bechina of sight. That goes back to the root of that individual's neshama, where it comes from. And that person's neshama, the ikir esek that he has in this world is a niglas atayr. It could be on a very deep level, very, very, very sharp. But that's the ikir esek that he has, is niglas atayr. And therefore, his shleimus is found in that world. And he's happy in his place. He's happy in his place. Even though the place is not completely illuminated, but that's his home. You have a person who was raised in a little village someplace, and lefi, the arochim, lefi, the values of that village that he was raised in and the world that he comes from, If he has a two-bedroom little place, whatever it is, a one two-bedroom little place, he feels fine and he's happy. He feels noisha. But it's a terrible thing if you pluck a guy out of a mansion and he grew up living in a mansion and he comes from such a place, big beautiful home with sprawling yards and tennis courts and pool, everything, and then you put this guy into a little apartment, it's terrible. You serve. terrible, terrible, terrible yisur. And he's got to break out. He's going to start knocking the walls down. That's what happens, you see, with little children, that they're doing all kinds of damage, you know, they do a lot of damage to little kids. Because the neshama is fresh. And when they come down from Shemayim, they're not used to all kinds of gvulim and tchumim. So they, you know, they feel like kicking in walls and breaking windows and getting their parents upset and messing things up in school. There's a... It takes time till they buy into the emptiness of Olam Hazeh and become bored and settled and active. And what the parents think is the biggest hatzlacha, the kid sits there like a statue, that his kid doesn't leave the Shabbos table, and he sits there the whole time, he doesn't move. He has the most chashuv kid in the world. It could be it's not the most chashuv kid in the world, it's just the most convenient kid in the world and the most comfortable kid to have in a house, the ones that don't do anything, they just sit there. It's very, very nice. It's a mechai to have a kid like that. But it could be that the biggest, if things go in the way that they should, the biggest nachas ruach come from the mishagoyim, not from the ones that sit there like that the whole time. So it's not dafka like that. Yesh v'yesh. I mean, that doesn't mean it's not hefker, the child needs to be disciplined, but you have to be very, very, very careful not to destroy the child along the way when it comes to the discipline. And if you've ever had the misfortune of being in a house where the parents are running it like a military academy, it's rahmanis to see the children live that way, which is so unnatural for them. To begin with, the fact that we live in buildings in the city and we don't live in fields and places where children can run and have a good time, and then they have to sit in schools all day and going. I was looking at my daughter's schedule. She's in 11th grade. You should see what goes on over there. 11 to 11:25. 11:26 to 11:48, and all these. I said to my wife, "Shach Manas, I wish you'd be potter from all this stuff already." 11:26 to 11:52, and 52 to, you get 1 minute off to get to the next class. And if the girl forgot something in the locker, then she's going to get into trouble because the bell rang. And you know, that whole life that we put them into, it's. Might as well just lock him in the locker, put him there and close it up and try to take them out when they're ready to get married, because it's such a crazy, unnatural, artificial world that we've put our children. We've gone along with this whole union of institutionalized Yiddishkeit, which is a big expense that we're paying for them. But and there were bigger gedolim that came out from when they had a cheder in the Rebbe's house, and the Rebbe was a poor person, they had some place there in a broken room in the his own kids hanging on a raft or somewhere. They made bigger gedolim than they're making from the fancy buildings. Much bigger gedolim came out from those places. A big neshamas, children come down very fresh, and it's very hard for them to be locked up. It's very hard. And they suffer terribly from that. So what happens when you have a person who comes from a lichtig, big, wide open space, a big, wide open space, and then you put him into a little space? No. Either he becomes sick and depressed and sebrachim, or worse, he could become the most dangerous menace to society, the most dangerous, destructive person. You take a lion and you put him into a little place. You take such a person and you put him into a little mindset. You take a big brain and a big heart, and you tell him you could only think according to this exact way. Think according to this way. Somebody sent me an article, and I read last night. A fellow used to daven here, he moved, and he sent me a very interesting article about this inyan that they have in the school system to force every single kid to learn algebra. That every single kid has to study algebra. And different madrigas of algebra. So it's a whole article written by a professor, somebody who was a professor for 40 years in Queens College. So he wrote this article, I think maybe it was in the New York Times, I'm not sure, but this article. This professor writing about the damage that causes. the damage that has caused and causes. He doesn't use the word neshamas, but for neshamas that are not b'teva mathematical. They're not. It's a certain way of thinking, and even in mathematics, he tines that algebra, for the most part, with the exception of just a tiny little piece of life, for the most part, is havel havel and has no impact upon a person's life, and only in a certain area, particular area, if a person wants to go into. And he said, mathematics is a very chashuva thing, but there are different ways of teaching mathematics and different areas of math that could be taught that would be able to bring everybody in, as opposed to making people that are bright and have hatzlacha and make them feel like terrible, terrible lo yutzlachs. And only a tiny percentage of the population ever majors in mathematics, and a tiny, tiny, tiny little percentage ever goes for any kind of a degree in mathematics from the whole population. Because they're not interested. They don't want that. They don't want that. And you're telling somebody that he has to dafka do something he doesn't want to do. And he's not inclined. He doesn't have an atiyah, and his mind doesn't think that way. And as a dafka, they see this in all the studies that are being made, they see this most by algebra. Most by algebra, because when it was the multiplication, divisions, there's numbers, but then it gets into the other things. So what's the nafkimina for a person's life? Is x2 and y2, and then with the brackets and the parentheses, and what's the nafkimina? What I ever see in my life since I was in school, such a thing, an x2 and a y2, I never saw such a thing in my life. You ever seen your life, an x2 and a y2? If you go into a certain inyan, there are certain inyanim. So then you could study that. So he wrote a whole article about that. But it's the same yesod. It's on a massive scale, taking children, and forcing them into a certain artificial way of thinking, into a certain box. And the mathematicians say, "But this is the poetry of the universe. Mathematics is the poetry of the universe. For you, it's poetry. For this kid, it's misery. It destroys his life." You see this kaseida. And it goes on and on and on. Nobody changes it. People already, you understand, they're tenured professors and teachers, and they have their jobs, and it goes on and on and on, ruining children's lives, and the whole cheshit they could ever have from math anyway is destroyed because of the way that it's forced down their throats when they're kids. There's certain people that they don't have neshamas like that. They don't have neshamas like that. And what happens if you put into a box? So you could now this guy that comes from the beautiful big mansion with a whole big huge backyard with a tennis court and the pool, so now you take him over to the village and you put him into this little apartment with the guy from the village. And the rich kid is miserable. And the kid from the village says, "Ma chaser lanu kan? What, there's a problem? What are you so unhappy about?" So he tries to tell me, "Oh, what are you happy? You live this way?" He says, "Well, I live this way. I have running water. You know, we only got that 2 years ago. I have running water. We have plumbing over here. It's a great place we're in." The kid from the mansion, he's living in that place and he can't get over it. And now he's in this little place and it makes him crazy. So he could either become totally depressed or he's going to have to break out. He's going to have to destroy this place. And that's what happens. So this person, again, nefesh bilti mishlamas shachanos gedolah b'koich kishroina otzon, this soul that has tremendous kishroinis, and is geres b'chol koicha b'tchum shul choshuch l'fi erka, there's nothing dark about a black gemara, chas v'sholem, and there's nothing dark about a simon and shulchan aruch. But l'fi erka, according to the erech, according to the broadness of this soul, that black gemara, for him, is dark. So that what we need to do from the very beginning, of course, we need to show in the Gemara itself how beautiful a black Gemara is, and to be expansive in the black Gemara. But then from there, that also might not satisfy this person, this child, as he grows into an adult. And what happens? He's zo'em es tamid. This soul is constantly enraged, angry, zoemis, stormy, angry. V'kedoyv shochu, it's like when you take a bear, you take a bear and and he comes out from hibernation. Ooh, with a mamish like ha'alul l'chol hamidas aroz, and this person is alul l'chol hamidas aroz. He's very prone and vulnerable to exploding with the worst midas. Kol alula l'chol hamidas aroz. Where the simple person, who's happy in his place, has beautiful midas. Everything is fine. He's not angry. This guy is angry. Halul l'chol hamidas aroz. L'chol ha'machshavas ha'yoyis aroz, but in the most destructive midas. And he is also prone to fall into the lowest, the most disgusting machshavas in the world. Next page 320. You talk about Rav Kook's vision. Because the problem is always that the ones in charge are saying that you're not allowed to see this. You're not allowed to read about Rav Kook's vision. You have to stay away from these things. And if we're going to have many, many Jews like this, now remember, before Mashiach comes, we spoke a lot about this in Eretz Yisrael, that before Mashiach comes, there are many, many more neshamas that are like this, that are coming down. Many, many more of these broad neshamas are coming down, which is tied up with the whole inyan of the final tikkun before Mashiach comes. And these neshamas of Mashiach site that are thirsting and longing for something deeper, for pnimiyas, that they're primed and ready for Mashiach Tzidkenu. If there are more and more of them, in Rabim Ka'ilim is Rabim Ba'uma, if we're going to have more and more of these in our nation, Ha'hefsid u'kofel u'mechupel, there's a double hefsid, a double loss. First of all, Minias ha'to'elis, shenafshois, na'alois, minizgavos ka'ila, yichailos lo'hairis, sa'ilim, with an unbelievable loss. The light that these exalted souls could have brought to the world. The great light that they could have brought to the world. That's one thing. But it's not only that. It's not only the minias harevach that we could have benefited. We could have gained from such a big neshama. It's not only that. Vaytosefes hezek. There's actual damage, not just minias harevach, not just that we are not profiting, not that we're not only that we've not gained, that the world hasn't gained and benefited from these great lichtige neshamas, but it's worse. Vaytosef is hezek, the damage that these people bring to the world. These bears that are locked up, these lions that are in cages. Tesefes hezek meisha hagoshes hamachrev hagodol hapnimi. Because that terrible, terrible feeling of pain, that deep inner feeling of pain, shel chisaron hamilui, when this person feels so empty, the little villager is happy, and this guy feels so empty. Chisaron hamilui lo'esai ha'or, he hasn't. There's so much there. There's this big empty place inside of him that's waiting for that aura, for that light. And he can't stop wanting that. That need and that demand for pnimius, for light, for meaning, for depth. Hashem created that in him. That's rooted in his soul. They can't just say, I'll stop thinking about this stuff. This is ridiculous. Or you could say it in fancier ways. This is not our Messiah. This is not how we do it over here. All the different lashanes, all the same thing. All is, ignore that emptiness. Ignore the emptiness. Ignore it in yourself and don't look for it in others. And stop making everybody crazy. He garemes midas kas vesina. This leads, Rav Kook says, it's so clear. This leads to midas kas vesina. kas, anger, and hatred, which unfortunately is so much a part of our from world, kas, and anger, and sin, and hatred. Because who's more mukhshif for pnimius? If not Am Yisrael. And who's not more mukhshif within Am Yisrael for pnimius? If not Loim De Torah. Kas and sinna, anger and hatred. Vim Yetzirus Hatzad HaNo Mukhshif B'Kishroinam B'Dvar Ma'isiyim. Now, if they use the lower level of their kaiches, remember these are people with big kishreinus and kaiches, if they use the lower level, the lower grade of their kishreinus, vidvar maisim, and stick to the curriculum that they're told to stick to, like them, just be like everybody else, and stop talking about these fancy and other, these mysterious things. They'll be able to still, even by making use of the lower part of their kishreinus, which is what? Which is invested in practical matters, there'll be people of tremendous hatzlacha. They'll be very successful. They'll be very, very successful. They'll be mechubadim, chashuvim, b'achrosim, b'umma, they'll be very mechubad, they'll be respected, and they'll be very, very chashuv in their ability to make a difference in the world because of their kishreinus, even if they're not Even when they're using the lower aspect, the lower chelik of their kishroinus. But look at who they are as people. Hari hachrosim zayemes. They make a difference in the world, but it's with an anger, with a kas. Hachrosim zayemes. Lo yedu derech shalom. They don't know the way of peace. They'll force their way on people. They'll outsmart and run over people and crush people. They'll be very successful because they have tremendous kishreinus. But along the way, they leave graveyards in their families and by their friends and where they work. They don't know where the way of shalom because they have that horrible emptiness in themselves. And they're looking and they're trying and they try to fill that emptiness in things of this world and things that are smaller in this world and they're always upset and always angry. They're never happy with themselves. Maybe they're not happy with anybody else. When you're unhappy with yourself, you're unhappy with other people. That's a cloud. Everybody knows that. When you hate yourself, you hate everybody else. Those people are always with themselves, that they hate themselves. They also hate everybody. Unless you also hate them. If you're a person that hates them, then you're a maven, and they could like you. That's how come many people get into all kinds of abusive relationships. It's strange that people are in such abusive relationships. And not only that, there are people who, you tell them, l'chadchila, you know this, you know you're going to marry this guy, this guy's going to ruin your life, he's going to beat you up. He's going to kill you. And she says, I know, isn't he wonderful? He's wonderful. He's going to kill you. I know, I love him. I love him. He's... Nebuch. You see what's going on, the promiscuity in the world. That you have Nebuch girls going, running around, doing things with people. People who look down upon them. Why? Because the only person she thinks is choshev is someone who hates her. Because of how much she hates herself. So this person is already a shtickel amazin. He knows that I'm worthless. He knows that I'm worthless. So he already understands me. Because he knows I'm worthless. So that's why I have a relationship with him. Because he is the only person that knows how worthless I am. Is there anything that's sadder in the whole world than that? And it's also with guys the other. But it's more often this way. Because since a girl is in Nivgurus and Dinim, she's more likely to have little self-worth to fall into that place. By girls, it happens much more than guys. So the only person who she's machshiv is somebody who's not machshiv her. Her parents love her. She has friends who love her. That's not for her. Get me a guy who really, really looks down at me, who takes advantage of me, who looks at me as a shtick fleisch. That's a good guy for me. But you see this kaseidah. It's not like it happens. This is all the time. Why? Because the only chosh of a person is someone who hates me because of how much she hates herself. there are people with tremendous koichas, tremendous kishrones, but the emptiness brings them to such a hatred of themselves. And they're angry at everybody else. Like Rav Kook wrote in the Eretz Yeshuva, how the Rishayim are angry at the whole world. I'm not talking about little Rishayim, I'm talking about big Rishayim. And the big Rishayim have big kishrones. That's how come they're able to cause such damage to the world. Little Rishayim don't make that much trouble. Big Rishayim make a lot of trouble. I was on the phone yesterday for a long time with a certain administrator in a school. You know, at the beginning of school, it's where does this kid go? Where does that kid go? So there's a certain kid that he's very, very bright, but he's difficult. And it was the first day of yeshiva, and the Rebbe already says he doesn't want this boy in the class. He doesn't want the boy in the class. He wants to put him to a lower class. The boy is a Balkishan. The boy is very smart. He wants to put him to the lower class. So I was talking to the principal, and I asked, but the boy is good. He's smart. He's a Balkishan. So what are you thinking? You know, the parents called to say they're putting him to lower class. Why are you? So the answer was that he's too much of a challenge for the Rebbe. So I said to him, see, you probably need a new Rebbe. The kid should be stay where he is and throw the Rebbe out. He's too much of a challenge for the Rebbe. And not only that, but he passed him like that after one day of yeshiva. Wow. If you can get the judges and the court system to work so quickly, the world would be a lot better. This dayan was passing on the kid in one day. He's too much of a challenge for him. He's not a bad kid. He's a little bit on the wild side, you understand? A little bit wild. He doesn't sit so long in one place. But he's very smart and he's a good boy. It's too much of a challenge. So what are we going to do? We'll put him in a smaller room, in a smaller house. That's what we're going to do. We'll put him in a smaller house. But there's no room in a small house. That's no problem. Because there's always another parent, a rich parent, who says to the Hanhala, you better take my kid out of Class Gimel and put him to Class Aleph. We'll always be able to switch. That's never a problem. At the end of the day, this kid from Aleph belongs in Gimel. The kid from Gimel belongs in Aleph. But that's how it goes. Not Chas V'Shalom goes. I mean, there is such an Indian. And what's going to be? So that's going to make the child less of a challenge? No. It gets angrier and angrier. It gets angrier and angrier because he's locked up. And there's something bigger in him, and it's kept in something in a smaller container. So what's going to be with him? You have this very often. You have a kid that's in a school and the kid's not challenged in that class. The kid's not growing in that class. So what becomes of the kid? Those are oftentimes the smartest and most creative kids. And the Rebbe or that class or the English teacher, whatever, it's not always the Rebbe's fault, the teacher's fault. It's just the other kids are not up to that kid, whatever, and that kid is cooking in that class and he doesn't belong there. But it could be the school doesn't have another classroom. It's not always the fault of the school. They don't have a place for it. So in the old days, you know, a kid like that, you take him on the side and he'd learn with his father, learn with a Rebbe or somebody, Talmud Chacham, one-on-one, and he would become Reb Chaim Brisker. Reb Chaim Brisker would have been kicked out of school the first day when he was a kid. Could you imagine? Reb Chaim Brisker would have been kicked out of school the first day. Because the stories that we have for Reb Chaim Brisker, he was absolutely out of control as a kid. Completely out of control. So can you imagine the Beis HaLevi would have gotten a call? We're really sorry about Chaimke. You know, he's a cute kid, but we don't see any future for him in Torah. He's too much of a challenge for us here. You know, he's a cute kid, but he's not for... Maybe we should get him a job doing something else. Or take him to a... You know, put him in a special education resource place to help him, because he doesn't sit in one place. From what we know about Reb Chaim Brisker, he couldn't sit in one place. So they would have called the Beis HaLevi to tell him, sorry, Rabbi Soloveitchik, we're having problems with Chaimke, he doesn't belong in yeshiva. These are the biggest neshamas in Klal Yisrael. So the message is that Reb Chaim Brisker couldn't fit into, he didn't fit into a yeshiva. Some of the greatest, greatest tzaddikim and gedolim that Klal Yisrael ever had never went to yeshiva. Try to find out where Moshe Feinstein graduated from. Try to find out where Moshe Feinstein graduated. What yeshiva did Moshe go to? Anybody know where he go to yeshiva? I never went to yeshiva. Find out where Lubavitcher Rebbe went to yeshiva. Never went to yeshiva. Didn't go to public school either. Never went to yeshiva. Try to find out. Where did Rabbi Yosher Ben Soloveitcher go to yeshiva? Where? Where was he in yeshiva? Never went a day in his life to yeshiva. His father never paid one day's tuition. After cheder, I mean. And even there, it was hard in cheder for the Rebbe for him. Never paid one day's tuition. Rabbi Moshe Soloveitcher didn't have to pay. Rabbi Yosher Ben never went. Maybe he had to pay tuition when he went to go to college in Berlin. Then he had to pay tuition. But he didn't pay tuition in the yeshiva. Rabbi Yosher Ben never went to yeshiva in his life. Never went to yeshiva. And when we learn, when we read the stories about what was in Slobodka in those places, so that was officially a yeshiva, but what was going on over there? And Bechlau Bad Chassidim, they didn't have yeshivas until in Poland and in Hungary. Hungary was a little bit earlier. Poland, the yeshiva, the whole union of institutions and yeshivas was much later. They learned in Stieblich. In Stieblich. That's how they learned. And they were big fiery neshamas. I'm not suggesting that God forbid, that yeshivas closed down. But we have to understand. They suggested this actually for this kid yesterday. They said maybe he needs homeschooling. That's what they said at the end. That's the latest thing when you have these conversations. It ends with homeschooling. In other words, why don't you just keep him at home? Homeschooling. Which, if it were possible for people to do, would be a very, very big improvement. Again, not Chas V'Shalom that the schools are not trying to do the best they can, and they're wonderful people, and they're doing really. It's just that the whole massive that we're in, closed up into buildings, is not natural. It's not natural, and I don't mean the physical building to be in, the physical building. And my daughter's describing that we have unusually warm weather. It's a little bit strange to have slichos like this, such hot weather. And of course, the mazel was that the air conditioning wasn't working in her school. The air conditioning wasn't working, and. So I said, well, it's hard to sit there. Of course, the classrooms weren't working. The offices had air conditioning, but the classrooms didn't have. So I said, they're sitting there like that, you know. So my daughter said it was bad, but it was much, much worse than that for the teachers. The teachers were trying to teach, and it was so hot and uncomfortable. And, you know, all the lady teachers, they come for puts the first day. They want to dress nice, you know. Oh, very, what's going on there? The makeup was running onto the floor. It was so hot. So I think, is this the right Jerusalem? You wanted this from your children, that we should live this way? No. 11:52 to 12:28. 94 degrees and humid. You really want that for your children? Just give them something better than that. Break down this whole thing and let everybody just run out and be free. Oh, I'm an anarchist in my old age. And just everybody be free and go out and learn a little bit in the park and have a picnic. I don't know. This whole thing. Maybe it wouldn't be so hot, I wouldn't be so annoyed about it. But the children are sitting and cooking in the schools. It's like... And they said, if we don't get air conditioning by tomorrow, we're going to have a day off. So the kids all got excited. They might get a day off. But of course, the Rishonim went and fixed the air conditioning. It's always, you know, just to disappoint them. The whole system is crazy. There's no question that the seichel, the ois has to be with seichel. He's saying this in a very strong way because he was up against the old Yeshuv in Yerushalayim, you know, and because he was up against a world that didn't get it. But he was not suggesting... He was not suggesting chalila, anarchy. And he wasn't suggesting loss of seichel. He wasn't suggesting a program that didn't consist of a very strong diet of this individual pushing himself to be meisa nefesh, to go through shas. And he wanted this person to learn shas. Not a little bit of gemara, Rav Kook wanted Shas. And we know that from what we're learning about him. He wanted everybody to learn Shas. This is not at the expense, and that's going to take tremendous mesiras nefesh for this Baal Kishron to sit through Shas. And he wasn't talking about in 7.5 years, he was talking about learning it thoroughly, carefully, Shas. Rav Kook believed that adrabah, that if this Baal Kishron is allowed to breathe, then his learning of Shas will not need such tremendous mesiras nefesh. He'll be well adjusted, he'll be happy, he'll be healthy, and he'll be able to know that this understanding of Shas is part of my growing into a Yirei Shamayim, and it is a necessary feature of my becoming great, a great Eved Hashem, and great in Pnimius. But when you lock him out of what he's supposed to be doing, and you tell him this is it, then everything is Mesiras Nefesh. Because nowadays, just for someone to go to shul, you say, wow, he's a big Baal Mesiras Nefesh. He goes to Shachas. Jeez, what a Baal Mesiras Nefesh. Why? Because if you don't want to do something, then everything's Mesiras Nefesh. But the reason that you don't want to do something is you don't feel connected at all. One has to be brutally honest with oneself. And the way to find out whether you're playing games is whether or not you're killing yourself in the area that you love. Because if you're not killing yourself in the Pnimius, it's a simon that you're just playing games. In other words, each and every one of us, at every point in our learning, in our lives, we have to be killing ourselves. Adam Kiyamas Baal was talking about whether you're learning Gittin or whether you're learning Zohar. It's Adam Kiyamas Baal. It wasn't meant, whatever you're learning, for you to be in a hammock under the tree with the yarmulke, you know. That's not what it means. It means Adam Kiyamas Baal. And Adam Kiyamas Baal means to kill yourself over it. So when you have a person who says, nah, the six-way machlokes in Gittin, you know, that's not my shirish. My shirish is in Pnimius. And what's his Pnimius? What's his Pnimius? What does he do with his Pnimius? There's no excuse not to be a Baal Mesiras Nefesh. That's the key. Everything is a Mesiras Nefesh. When you do Ma'asim Tovim, when you give tzedakah, when you say a nice word, everything is a Mesiras Nefesh. What happens, you're right, and that's why it's important, and Rav Kook talks about it. What happens, you'll have some chevra that they'll say, well, this is not my inyan, the six-way machalikas and getting is not my inyan, and my inyan is in the other aspect of Torah, and therefore, what are you doing about that? So what do you do with your life? Where's the Kedush and Tahara that should be coming with a life of Pnimius? I don't see that you're becoming a tzaddik. Everyone has to become a tzaddik, to try, to become a tzaddik. Some do it this way, some do it that way. But you can't be a tzaddik without Mesiras Nefesh. So if you're going to be the person of the Nister without Mesiras Nefesh, not only you're not going to be a tzaddik, you'll be, as we said, you'll be much worse than the guy that's just an Elocha guy that's learning Nigla, and he's doing his machloikis and Gittin, he's keeping Shulchan Aruch, and he's a good guy. He'll be an Elocha guy. But the Pnimius person without Mesiras Nefesh, the person who has Netias, the Pnimius, but it's without Mesiras Nefesh, so then he could see it himself, if he's honest, that he's playing a game. It's a very dangerous game. And that's what Rav Kook is saying. The Midas Rose, all the worst things can come out in this person's life because of that game. So he has to constantly be in the parasha of Mesiras Nefesh, of Adam Kiyomus Boil. Every minute of life is Adam Kiyomus Boil, staying up late, getting up early, working hard, killing yourself over that piece of whatever you're doing. But not just this to say, nah, you know, I'm a poetic type, and therefore, you know, and therefore my life was meant to be a different kind of a life, not so intense. Just they use the word now intense. You have to be very careful how they use the word now intense. It means, used to be there was a word serious that has been taken out of the dictionary, and now they use the word intense, which already sounds bad. Serious, serious. A person of Pnimius is a serious person. And if he's not serious, it means that he's playing a game. And he's fooling himself. That's the big test of Adam Kiyomus Baal. And Mishnah will continue next time.